7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Shh. Hey, monkeys. Welcome to the podcast. Monkey Dan here. It's been a bit of a break in the Live Wild or Die podcast. I apologize. Trying to step my game up and get back into consistently recording shows. And I keep threatening this, but I'm going to do it anyways. So I would love to hear from monkeys, even have some monkeys on the show. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, please shoot me a note, info@monkey.co. Can reach out on Instagram, leave comments on YouTube, whatever works for you guys. But let us know what you'd like to hear. And if you have something you'd like to talk about, let's have you on. So this show is kind of more of a catch-up episode. I wanted to talk about, I had a monkey reach out about it was actually episode number 10, so it was a while ago, but I wanted to read his response. And then someone also had a question about minimalist shoes and barefoot running for ultra marathon. So a little bit of a catch-up show, trying to get back in the groove. So thanks for sticking with the monkey state of mind and keeping wildness alive. So enjoy. Monkey on. Hello, monkeys, and welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Dan. And it's been a minute since we've had an episode. I apologize, guys. It's been wild times around Monkey HQ here lately out in the always wild Boulder-ish Colorado. We're actually located just north of Boulder. It's still technically Boulder, but summer is finally here. It took a while. We had this crazy blizzard in May, and then in June it snowed almost 2 feet up in the high country. So the sun is finally out. The grass is green. And I'm trying to get out as much as I can, which it's never enough. But I wanted to, for this episode, I'm kind of treating this as like a catch-up episode. So there's been a few things I've been wanting to mention and bring up on the show. So the first is I talked about stoicism back on episode 10, I believe. And I got a note from a monkey, Jared, who actually, this guy's rad. Jared, let me take a step back. Jared did this awesome painting of this badass looking monkey hanging off a branch, just looking mean and wild. And he sent that to me. Thank you again, Jared. And it's still actually next to my desk at HQ. But he sent this to me, and then we actually used his artwork as the concept for the monkey shirts, which you can get those at monkey.co. So thanks again, Jared. And so we've stayed in contact. He actually came by the office. We got to hang out for a little bit, but he was listening to the podcast and he sent me a note after listening to episode 10, where I was talking about, it's not that bad. This concept of just this mindset of things, they're not as bad as they may seem. So he wrote a really thoughtful response to that. So I thought I'd just read it and you guys can share your thoughts, reflect on it, and keep the discussion going. So here we go. So Jared says, the phrase, it's not that bad, from episode number 10 of the Live Wild or Die podcast, made me think of a philosophical school of thought called Stoicism. When someone says it's not that bad, what I believe they're doing is accepting the current circumstances and not letting them negatively impact their psychology. Similarly, the Stoics believed that in this world, there are things you can control and things you can't. What you can control is your mindset. I repeat, what you can control is your mindset. And pretty much everything else falls under the latter category. I'm going to totally botch this, but Epictetus, who was born a slave nearly 2,000 years ago, said, don't seek for everything to happen as you wish it would, but rather wish that everything happens as it actually will. Then your life will flow well. They had a radical sense of acceptance about them. He also believed that no situation in life is inherently bad or good, but rather it is our relationship to those situations that gives it a label, just as well. He thought that every hardship was an opportunity for growth. He gives an example of a rude person not ruining your day or making you angry, but instead providing you the opportunity to practice patience. And going on from Jared, he says, I'll end this with one of my favorite quotes from Epictetus from the book, How to Be Free. If someone in the street were entrusted with your body, you would be furious. Yet you entrust your mind to anyone around who happens to insult you and allow it to be troubled and confused. Are you not ashamed of that? End quote. So great stuff, Jared. Thank you for your reflection. And any monkeys listening, please don't hesitate to reach out and just share your thoughts or, you know, let us know a topic you guys would like to hear. And hopefully I can keep on track and be a little more consistent with the show because I really enjoy doing it. And I love hearing the feedback from you guys. So thank you. And moving on, I just received a note yesterday, or actually it was Friday, excuse me. Monkey Lucas had sent a note and he listened to, I think, the most recent shows where I was talking about doing the rim to rim to rim in the Grand Canyon. And he had a question. So his question was, this is Monkey Lucas again. His question is, I was wondering if you had an opinion on using regular running / trail shoes or using barefoot minimalist shoes since you just did the 50-mile rim to rim to rim recently. Excuse me. Maybe it can be a topic for your next podcast or small YouTube clip. Thank you, Monkey Lucas. And yeah, I'm happy to share thoughts on, I guess, what I personally did and just general thoughts. So what I ran the Grand Canyon triple crossing or double crossing, excuse me, rim, rim, rim. I ran in a pair of Ultra Lone Peak 4 trail running shoes. They're zero drop shoes, so there's no raised heel. So they have that, you know, barefoot-ish feel, but there's quite a bit of cushion. And I don't remember the exact stack height, but I actually intentionally got a shoe that had a little bit more cushion. I don't know what I did, but in the months leading up to the run, my left heel, I had this, I don't know if I had a contusion or if I'd stepped on a rock really hard out trail running in a minimalist shoe, but I just had this chronic low-grade heel pain. So I wanted to make sure I had a little extra padding. So I decided to go with the Ultra Lone Peak 4s. I loved them. They were awesome. And I also used, Ultra also sells a gaiter that is made to just snap right in or Velcro right into their shoes. And I never actually used gaiters before for trail running and super awesome, especially that type of trail. It's a little dustier, a little sandier. Having that shield from anything getting in the top of your shoe, especially when you're doing 50 miles, just really helped a lot. So yeah, I appreciated having those. And then just to comment a little more on the barefoot minimalist shoe, you know, I read Born to Run, as I'm sure a lot of you out there have. Born to Run by Christopher McDougall. Awesome book. It kind of sparked the whole barefoot running craze that started around, I read it in 2010, I believe, but the book came out maybe a year or two prior. But so I immediately went out and bought a pair of Vibram Five Fingers, which is the little toe shoes, and started running in those and hiking in those quite a bit. And there was definitely a break-in period, especially my feet actually handled it pretty well. It was my calves that had to get used to it. So I remember the first few runs, well, the first several runs, especially my lower calf, where before it always had kind of that slightly raised heel, my lower calf was just sore from dropping that extra half a centimeter or so in the barefoot shoes. But I did a little bit of research and just kind of checked out how to stride properly and, you know, how to really use these things. And if you land on your midfoot, kind of roll slightly across the outside of your foot and then onto the ball and finally on the toes, it really turns into this nice, super springy stride. And you pretty quickly realize heel striking is just not an option. And for me personally, I never really was a heel striker. I had a great coach in high school. Shout out to Cindy McCaffrey. She was a triathlete, and she really was a technical running coach and showed me a lot about running on my forefoot and cadence, all this stuff. So I've never really been a heel strike runner, but having the barefoot minimalist shoes really helped accentuate that midfoot strike. And it's just, I remember it felt like my muscles were taking all of the load versus joints or bone structure. So it was a very soft, springy running sensation versus a pounding, which is, I think a lot of people, the reason they use that terminology, that pounding, that high impact terminology for running is you watch them. It's that striking with the heel. You're basically stopping all your momentum, and this force, multiplied force of your body weight, is going throughout your legs and ultimately entire body. So I think they're super useful, but I think the misconception a lot of people have is they buy minimalist shoes and they expect to immediately just have kind of all their ailments cured and be able to run 100 miles in the desert, you know, and only drink lime juice and chia seeds or something like that. So it's like anything new, you need to start slow and work up to it. So the best thing is if you can go totally barefoot, like no shoes, nothing at all, and just walk in your grass, walk around your neighborhood in the sidewalk, just build up that strength. And then if you're going to go for a longer run or trail hike, you could add the shoes for the skin protection. But it's got to be, you just need to slowly, slowly, slowly work up to it. And if you can wear them just throughout your day, if you're walking around for work or standing at your desk, if you can go barefoot or wear a minimalist shoe, that's a great way to kind of speed up that process without doing that higher intensity work where there is potential to have injury. But, you know, to further elaborate on Lucas's question, I had a friend that did the Grand Canyon. Well, he was there when I got hurt. He did it. Shout out to wild man Chris Taylor. But he wore Merrell trail gloves, which there's very little padding. It's basically just, I think it's maybe a 3 or 4 millimeter rubber sole with basically no additional cushioning or anything. And he ran in those, and, you know, I saw him the next day and was with him the next day, and he was totally fine. So again, I think if you give yourself the proper time, you treat it like any other athletic endeavor where you need to, when you're new at something, you need to start slow and just incrementally increase the intensity, the stimulus, and the stress on your body. And especially with the minimalist shoes and barefoot shoes, if you even think you're having some sort of foot injury or knee injury, ankle issue, anything, you need to back off immediately. Make sure, you know, nip it in the bud, play the long game here, monkeys. And, hopefully you'll see a bunch of people running around barefoot. You know, I really wish I could totally go like a true barefoot. You know, I feel like I'm constantly searching for a barefoot shoe that works for the type of things I like to do. And I've never found the perfect thing. And so I'm starting to wonder if I just need to kind of take it a step further and go full on barefoot, which I try and do. I go barefoot in my house. I never wear shoes in the house, and I run barefoot out. We have kind of this big yard in a courtyard. We live in a townhome, so there's this relatively large grass area where you can run around, and there's pretty nice sidewalks. But I'm still, man, if I'm like out in the woods and if I'm totally barefoot, I do that total, like the wuss barefoot hop. So trying to get stronger, trying to build up that body hardening in the feet. So that's a nice little two-part show there. We've got little stoicism recap from Jared. Excuse me. We've got little minimalist shoe barefoot running talk via Monkey Lucas. And yeah, that's a little live wild or die catch-up show. Thanks for tuning in. If you guys have questions, as always, feel free to drop us a line via Instagram, email info@monkey.co. And I'd also encourage folks to check out the website. We've got some more training stuff up. The app has been updated recently, so if you haven't updated the Monkey app, be sure to do that. if you have Pocket Monkey, if you have Monkey Bars 2, or maybe even have Monkey Bars Minimalist, the OG monkeys, I'd encourage everyone to check out the IsoCore. It's one of our newer products. It's an awesome core product. It's very rotational, training focused, and it's isometric. So you're rotating, but you're also doing these isometric holds, which it's building up the stability in your core, the stability in your spine. And it's not a type of training that you often would do definitely at a gym, but it's just an easy thing. I do it all the time throughout the day just to kind of break the ice, shake off the rust of if I'm doing a long computer day. So check out the IsoCore, check out the new monkey training. And as always, stay wild, everyone, and monkey on.